We hear this all the time.
There are so many updates and tons of community work happening. It's hard to keep up. How do I follow it all?
Here is your answer. Listen to the Gutenberg Changelog. Hello and welcome to our 19th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog. In today's episode, we will talk about WordPress 5.4.1 and the backported fixes for the block editor, the Gutenberg 8.0 release, roles of themes in a full site editing experience, and some block editor plugins that got our attention. I am Birgit Pauli-Haag, publisher of the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Mark Urain, designer at Automattic, design lead of the Gutenberg Phase 2, and longtime core contributor to WordPress. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Hi, Birgit. I'm doing well today. I finally ran an errand after being quarantined for however many weeks now. And because I was going out, I decided to wear a mask. And let me tell you, masks and beards are not compatible. It was a mess.
Oh, no.
Next time, I'm just wearing a bandana. But how have you been lately?
I've been well. I have been testing gluten-free cookie and cake mixes.
Ooh.
So for someone who hasn't baked for many decades, I found a great satisfaction in making my own comfort food.
How cool.
Yeah. Apart from that, it's all same old, same old. I'm in day 51 or 2 of my stay at home. I'm not sure if it's good news or bad news, but of course, Florida opened the beaches this week. So we see how that's going to work out.
Really? Okay. Well, just for your information, California has just recently closed our beaches. So we had them open the whole time.
All right.
And now we're just deciding to close them.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a really interesting time.
Right.
So today's announcement about conferences and virtual conferences. WordCamp Europe will be a virtual conference. If you missed that, the tickets are available now. Contributor Day is actually closed already. They had so many applications that they had to close it because you can only do so many things in a virtual Contributor Day. But there's a new chance. WordCamp US just announced that it won't be organizing an in-person event either in October and switch to preparing a virtual conference and Contributor Day as well. And they extended the call for speakers to May 31st, 2020. So you get another 5 weeks, 4 weeks to figure out what you want to speak and send it in. Please send it in because it seems that there have been not a whole lot of applications yet because everybody was kind of figuring out, should I do flight reservations? Should I do hotel reservations? Nah, maybe not. So there's still some catch up to do for the program team of WordCamp US.
Ah, okay. Good call on that, I believe. There's also, in addition to those conferences, there's the JavaScript for WordPress conference coming up, which is July 8th through the 10th. The call for speakers is now open. Deadline is June 1st for the call for speakers. One day will be about headless WordPress, and the second day is all about Gutenberg, I believe. So,
yeah, and I'm looking very much forward to that as well. Kind of learning both topics is always very interesting. And yes. Zach Gordon is the host of the conference, and it's actually not a new conference. It's the third annual. And early listeners of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast might remember that Mark and I were speakers on that conference last year when we did our first real episode from there. It was really interesting to see. So, well, it's going to be a little bit of an anniversary back then.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
So we also found some community contributions that we wanted to share with you. Dear listeners, we're so grateful that you're here. Matthias Ventura, he's one of the architects of Gutenberg. He put his thoughts on themes in a blog post and answers the question, what does it mean for themes that blocks allow more design tools to be available to users. The article is also a response to Vlad Olaru from Pixelscape article, The Good WordPress Theme from February, where he was lamenting that doesn't seem to be any more a shared understanding of what a WordPress theme's role is and responsibility is. So I can see that there's some confusion going on when you think about full site editing, that you can change the headers nilly-willy, you can change the footer nilly-willy, you can change some template parts nilly-willy. Those interfaces are all built, but Matthias made clear that the aim is not to provide a better and more integrated engine to power. The aim is to provide a better and more integrated engine to power the theme experience, not to expose all its inner workings to all people or make it easier to ruin a design. So it's more for, right now it's more about the developer experience and what can be possible, but it's also about the user who can change a few things, but it's still about the theme developer narrowing it down and giving good first impressions for the user.
Totally. I've had several conversations just this week, Birgit, about how people who are building websites for others, you know, they really like the ability to lock down certain things so that their users of those websites, who are just the content creators, kind of, they aren't going through and making drastic design changes that are kind of ruining the site that they kind of implemented for them, that they built. So there's a lot of concern about that. And I think what Matthias wrote is pretty good and helps drive the conversation towards like having this unified area in which that allows for a certain level of control, but also doesn't like destroy a theme, right? There's a balance there. And if we can really work towards that together, I think would be great.
Yeah. And I just wanted to bring back that those tools are available to ruin a design. They're available to a user site owner right now. Yeah, this is edit theme or edit plugins, which a lot of people use. Yeah, I started doing that until I kind of learned it the hard way, but it's something that site owners try to find a way to make some changes as well. So it's nothing new, and it will help some consultants to at least have one particular interface to do these changes and not have it all over the admin screens, whether what's a menu, what's a widget, what's a so. Right. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a good one. We have another one, Birgit. Let's see, while reading through the forums this week, I found a user that was asking about installing a block or plugin of blocks on their site, and then they decided they no longer wanted this plugin because another one kind of offered what they had already. And so they wanted to get rid of uninstall the plugin, but they didn't know what was going to happen to their blocks. Like, am I going to lose the blocks? And this person didn't even know where the blocks were. So like all good people do, when you have a question, where do you turn? To Twitter. So I went to Twitter.
I would say forums, but
the proper way was to go to the forums, but then me, who's answering the question, I went to Twitter. And so I asked the question if there were any plugins, and Merritt came back with a plugin called Find My Blocks by Eddie Sims. And this plugin claims to help identify which pages and posts are utilizing which blocks. So you can make that discernment much easier and find out like where you might need to go to double check on anything, any of the blocks that if you're uninstalling a plugin, you could check those pages to kind of see what happened to that block. Most likely, if it's not a dynamic block, it's really just HTML and it will remain as HTML in your page.
Yeah, but it really depends on the plugin developer, how concerned they are about the site quality. When the world does not turn around them and somebody makes up their mind that they're going to switch away the plugin. Speaking of plugins, Lee Shaddle from blockhandbook.com has published his movable plugin in the repository, and it lets you drag and drop blocks from the sidebar to your content area. So you don't have to kind of go to the inserter and look for it and then say, just kind of drag them over from the sidebar, which is fine, a very interesting concept to start out with. It has probably some scaling issues, you know, how many blocks can you put in the list and kind of how you find them. But that's the big question with the inserter as well.
Yeah.
How you navigate that and get to the places where you want to go.
Is that the same plugin that allows you to kind of move the blocks within a tree and it moves the blocks in your page as well? I know he was working on that as well, right? Where he had a tree, a block tree in the sidebar. And if you were able to move, drag and drop them within mm-hmm. that tree, and it would actually adjust them on the contour.
Yeah, I haven't tested the plugin yet, but it seems to be that that particular feature is in there as well. Lee also started a free 6-lesson block developer video course on his website, theblockhandbook.com. And it teaches you how to build your first block with using the Create Block Scaffolding tool that was just released. Nice. And walks you through a simple recipe block. So it kind of helps you setting up your development environment, how to use the scaffolding, and then how to publish that particular block. So it's for someone who hasn't started kind of getting your feet wet, it's definitely something to check out. And it's free, so.
That's so cool.
It's really cool.
I'm going to take that lesson because I love that stuff. Like I haven't even used our Create Block Scaffolding yet. I've been meaning to dig into it, but.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. When Craig started it, yeah, I was kind of testing it out right away and giving some tips on there. So, but I haven't had any creative time to actually build some blocks yet in the last 6 weeks or so. Yeah, welcome to the fast lane on virtual. Yeah. So, but this week was also release week, and not only from Gutenberg, which you, dear listeners, know about already, but the WordPress 5.4.1 security release was released on the March 31st. So it was 2 weeks ago. This week, yeah. The 5.4 came out of March 31st, but the April 29th was the release of 5.4.1. God, what I was saying.
There you go.
And we looked at the release notes for the plug editor fixes that were backported to WordPress core, and there were 7 of them. One of them is update the search and RSS block render method. So the PR made a couple of minor changes, primarily for consistency and the way the RSS block interpolates with the HTML to be consistent with the other blocks. Same with the search. I like that search widget so much.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I can place it just on, somewhere on the page and people can use it in one of my columns. Yeah, just. And then it also fixes the latest post block with the image dimensions. So there was a JavaScript crash caused by the image dimensions array when it was empty, and that was fixed. And then only scroll page for multi-selections fixes weird scrolling behavior after a block was deleted or after a block deletion of select. It's in the list block as well. When you were deleting list items, it was kind of had some funky behavior there. Also preventing typing on a popover from closing the block toolbar. So when you have a text input in a dropdown or popover, and the block controls toolbar was then, it was done hidden. Yeah, you couldn't find the toolbar anymore. So that was done and fixed now. And then the buttons block margins have been fixed. It was a big one for the content creators. And now you can line the buttons up perfectly in your content. The buttons block was new in 5.4. It was a conversion from one button to multiple buttons, and something needed to be fixed there.
Yeah, that alignment kind of drove some of us a little bonkers there, because we were like, if we had that buttons block centered, right? But it had like it would be off center a little bit visually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes when the alignments is just a little off, it kind of is weird. Yeah, I get that people get bonkers by that, especially when they can't control it. Yeah. And then the last fix was when you highlighted a text in a paragraph and use command shift enter, it actually duplicated the block, which was a nice feature, but it didn't work with when you wanted to duplicate it. It was fixed now. It actually duplicates the block now. That's a shortcut for when you're on the toolbar in the paragraph block, the three dots on the right-hand side on the block toolbar give you more options, and one of them is duplicate the block, and you get some shortcut there. So there were also 7 security fixes and additional non-editor related updates in 5.4.1. And Justin Tadlock at the WP Tavern comprehensively covers all those changes. Yeah, you'll find the link to his article in the show notes of this show episode.
All right.
So do you want to start out with a...
Oh, no, you go ahead. Lead us into it here. I mean, I'm going to have a lot to say, believe you.
Okay. Yeah, and then this week also Gutenberg 8.0 came out. Again, a lot of work has gone into this release. 130 PRs, that's pull requests, that's code changes, were merged into the plugin. The new features are not as dramatic as other releases, but a lot of people were waiting for, especially for the first one, add subscript and superscript formatting options to the inline text options for paragraphs, and yeah, kind of have higher numbers and lower numbers. That's the one part that we would love to have also footnotes to go with that, but yes, it's one step at a time. And quite a few people were waiting for that because they published some of their longer posts have additional information that they wanted to subscript or superscript. And also the block patterns wire, that's a big one. The block patterns were introduced to Gutenberg by 7.9, and they showed up in the sidebar as a transitional kind of place for it. It now moved into the inserter to have just one interface to add blocks or block patterns into the content.
And that inserter has changed. It's not just a popover anymore. It's like a slide out sidebar now. And so if you click the inserter in the upper left corner there, the whole inserter slides open and all the blocks, they're no longer in accordions anymore either. They're all visible right there, but categorized still.
Yeah.
And then you could click the patterns tab and view all the different patterns, which we're opening up to third parties as well and themes.
Yeah, it's awesome. I really like that. I saw some display issues, but I need to go back and kind of make sure that they are not interferences from other plugins that I'm testing all over the place. But opening that up to a third party, meaning theme developers as well as plugin developers, makes for some nice experimentation and what is actually possible with block patterns that right now are in block collections that maybe don't have to be in block collections. So another feature was to improve the layout and usability for the code editor. I looked at the PR and the layout and usability was definitely improved, but it was also very subtle. I think what's missing is still something like a syntax highlighter or so, but it's definitely much better readable because it's a sans-serif.
Just really kind of widened the space of the editor, the code editor, and made the title into a monospace font. So yeah, some very subtle, very minor changes, but anything we can do to help that code editor, I'm all for.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting for my block level shortcut to go to the code editor per block. I found myself after I converted from classic editor to Gutenberg, found myself just fixing single blocks and not going through the visual editor, from the visual editor to the code editor to scroll through the whole thing. There was only some things in a paragraph or in an image block, but the keyboard shortcuts are not available for that. It's interesting. Yeah.
That is. I know one of my desires to get the code editor beefed up a little more is to be able to add a block straight from the code editor, and it would just kind of add the code version of the block into the code editor.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. So there are a lot of visions for that. Gutenberg 8.0 also has a few enhancements. And one of them is, you already mentioned that the inserter previews, the inserter changed, and it also now has previews for more blocks. So even if you, the name doesn't tell you anything, once you hover over it on the right-hand side, you see a preview how it could look, which I really like for some users.
I agree. You know, I've been testing out some other site building software out there, and it's always the preview that I'm looking at. I never just add anything because of an icon or the way it says what it is with text. I always need to see the preview before I add it to my page, and having more previews for more blocks is just fantastic.
Yeah, we teach the user that previews are there, so there is a kind of a disconnect when all of a sudden blocks don't have a preview. So I think it's also a call for the plugin developers to actually create previews for the inserter for the many, many blocks that they put in the plugin. Another enhancement, and it's kind of coming back to it again, it's the performance improvements that came with 8.0, and the make block has the table underneath on the bottom of the screen for the load time. And some of you probably know this already, but the benchmark to measure that performance is a sizable post, which contains approximately 36,000 words and in about 1,000 blocks. And then it looks at loading times and then the key press event, meaning the typing. In WordPress 5.4, the loading time was 9.2. Seconds, and the key press was 29 milliseconds. And then it kind of really increased slightly for Gutenberg 7.9, and then Gutenberg 8.0, it's now down again to 9.8 seconds and 31.4 milliseconds on the key press event. So there's always a little bit of tweaking and up and downs in the performance, especially when hit new features.
Yeah, it's something that those developers are watching all the time.
Yeah, and it makes for a much better experience when you can just start typing and not have to wait till things load in the background. So it's definitely worth it. Another enhancement is an updated welcome guide illustrations. It's a much cleaner look and feel, and those new to the block editor will have a better experience there.
Yeah, that is cool. We also have a couple new API changes, a new block context API has been partially implemented, currently limited to block settings and editor APIs, but a PHP APIs will be implemented in the next plugin releases. Just a few links to some PRs there. And then we have some new G2 styled icons for the icon package. I didn't count how many, but there was a good number of icons that got added in this PR for the WordPress icon package. And they're great. They're coming from some other designers that needed some icons for some plugins or some like other services that might be helpful for WordPress. Look how easy that happened, right? Like they just proposed some really great icons, went through a process and got them merged. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it now has a receipt icon, a product icon, widget icons, shipping icons, payment icons, review icons, just to name a few of them. It's really cool.
That is. So if you've got a store you're doing now, right? Like these icons are able to be used by any plugin developers now that can really benefit from these. So we have about 29 bug fixes, some fix margins and styles for buttons, columns, image, media, and text blocks. Let's see, we've got fixed the selected category on existing latest post blocks.
Oh, that's a big one. Sorry, but I kind of just need to...
You like that one, huh?
I like that one because
it's the latest post.
The latest post block is now really usable, including the featured image. You can switch on and off the date and all that's how it appears. And you could also select the category for your landing pages, yeah? And that wouldn't work yet, so... I'm glad that it's fixed now.
Yeah. We fixed the overlapping column for embeds, like when there was an embed inside of a column in the columns block, it would overlap the other column, and there was a problem there. I remember seeing some of these. I like remember seeing them in GitHub, and then I just lose track. I don't keep track of them, and then here I read them in the changelog. This is pretty phenomenal to just, oh yeah, I remember seeing that in GitHub and it's done now. Oh, good.
So in 5.4, there was a new embed coming in. That was a TikTok.
Yeah, that's right.
And at WordCamp Miami, I was talking about what's coming in 5.4 and I wanted to show that off. And on the front end, it worked nicely. But in the editor itself, I had three different TikTok videographers kind of represented. So my three favorite ones, I'm only looking at three. And they were all overlapping. I kind of was, okay, so how that's going to turn out. But it turned out fine on the front end. But
on the front end, it worked, yeah.
It was disconcerting.
As we mentioned, we fixed the centered buttons, margins, fixed the gradient picker, double-click bug. I wasn't even aware there was a double-click bug, but I just had to highlight this because it's the gradient.
Gradient. That's my cue.
And there was a fix for the URL display for scheduled posts, which is really cool. What else do we have, Birgit?
And were some changes on the experiments, about 15 of those. You recall the experience or working on the navigation menu, bar, page, the toolbar, then the full site editing, the block directory and the widgets. Those are the four experiments that come with the Gutenberg plugin, and you need to switch them on to test them out. But it's coming along quite nicely. Especially the full site editing, where now there's also some cleaning up to be done. You can declare template part blocks now through the block JSON that seems to be the center around everything's going to be revolving is the block JSON file, where you have all the settings and all the dependencies in there. Also, the current theme is in the template switcher now. There's a new preview options component available, and it supports the REST API meta queries, where full site editing experience can now tap into the meta tables to find some of the settings that have been put there by themes or by plugins to make them available through the full site editing experience. The block directory has now an additional inserter panel around the block directory results. I'm really looking forward to test that out. And then the widget had some fixes for the legacy widgets, Z-index, and has also fixed some visual issues for the experiments. There were also quite a few changes for code quality, and it sounds like it's something very subjective, but when I read through the items, the 15 items that we have there, I'm delighted by the word remove. So it's remove obsolete editor alignment classes. Theme developers will like that. Remove old icons. We have new ones, so let's remove the old ones. And that's also implement the block JSON file for blocks. So there is to avoid or take care of some of the duplication that happens between JavaScript code and PHP code. If it's all in one JSON file, then both languages can read the same file and you don't have to duplicate all that. Then the latest block is now using the register block type from metadata. So you can add them to the latest block. And then some updates on the RSS block code, and then some TypeScript improvements. That's for the developers. But so contributors also find their way around what's actually current. So I really like that they're working on those code quality issues.
We have about 12 documentation updates. Some of these include updating the WP-ENV docs to reflect current functionality of the package. Another one is to extract block transforms into its own handbook page. And a few others like update the patterns to reflect user interface instead. One of the problems we saw in the documentation is that we were using the word patterns early on and not in the way that we talk about block patterns today. So kind of updating that word to say user interface instead. Let's see, we create a document for contributing with triage and update the triage MD file to add more clarity and relevant link.
Yeah, I have found that there are quite a few new contributors that wanted to start out with triaging tickets.
Yeah.
That's certainly a great way to get your feet wet on code and also on the issues and kind of figure out, okay, how to test it, how to make sure that GitHub issues that are filed are actually tested throughout different variations and have enough information for the developers or the designers to act on it, as well as have the right labels. That's a good way to start out. So that are on top of things in the documentation. We didn't highlight that here, but there is a glossary documentation in the developers. And Josepha Hayden found it the most interesting to actually point out on Twitter that is happening. So I will put this also into the show notes so people can see what the, especially see what's missing from the terms, so we can update that as well.
She was pretty thrilled to find that.
Yeah.
I laughed because it's buried like two folders deep in the documentation that we have. So not something that you could just easily find, but it is there.
Yeah. So that's a lot of terms are in there for developers, because that's where it is. It's in the developer handbook. And I was wondering what a glossary for end users would look like, because it would only be a subset of the words, but it would also have a lot more in there that are from coming from the interface. Yeah. So I think that's another thing to mull over.
Right, right. And then we have a project management category this time around. We haven't had that before yet, have we, in the change?
No. And it's new for us. Interesting.
It updates the bug report template to help identify the editor version. So now when you're recording a bug in GitHub, there'll be a prompt to ask you what version of Gutenberg you're using, so we can identify which version that the bug relates to. Always good practice to include the version numbers. And we had several in the various category again, because no one knows quite where to put these. So we have a various category. These included things like end-to-end tests, update some slugs, WordPress scripts, package, the create block scaffold tool was made to make it easier to provide most popular CLI options. There are some others. One of the other ones to note is the storybook now has add form toggle component in the storybook, and some other build tooling improvements and lots of good stuff.
Yeah, full packed release again. Right. What awesome work that is with all the contributors to it.
For sure.
Yeah, and this gets us to the end of today's episode. By the time you listen to this, Mark's number 51 update, design update, will be published. And we'll add it to the show notes to make sure you don't miss it. As always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And this is the 19th episode. If you have questions or suggestions or news you want us to include, send them via email to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. Until the next time.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a good one. Thank you, Birgit.
Thank you, Mark. Bye.